This is the Saturday Morning Test Drive, brought to you by AutoFlex Leasing on 105.3 The Fan.
Welcome to the Saturday Morning Test Drive, brought to you by AutoFlex Leasing, the best leasing place in all of DFW. We're here every Saturday morning with your hosts, David Blassingame
and Good morning.
Tammy Pickard.
Good morning.
We're going to be here till 10 o'clock taking your phone calls at 877-881-1053 and your fan texts at 43733. And you can call AutoFlex if you're in the market for a new car or a certified pre-owned vehicle. What are those phone numbers, David?
Either 817 or 972-234-1234, or you can go to the brand new website, autoflex.com, and if you want to hear, read any of the stories that we're going to do on the air this morning, they're listed if you click on the Facebook, or if you just go to AutoFlex Facebook page.
I like it.
Yeah.
And if you're in the market for a new car, AutoFlex is open for your business today at two locations, Richardson and in Arlington. So no matter where you're coming from in the Metroplex, they've got you covered. If you want to call toll-free, it's 888-234-1234. Got a lot of good stuff. First of all, good to see you guys. I know I was out last week, and I heard you guys did a great job without me, so I'm a little bit threatened as far as my job security goes.
We really prefer having you here, Sybil, because Waddle, he kept me from doing it because every lead in and out, I wanted to say, and we're back with the AutoFlex Leasing Show.
Yes.
Saturday Morning Test Drive.
Radio Tammy. I like
great?
It.
You speak truth. I wanted that. You just went
He wanted it. He wanted it.
Can you do it today? Please.
And she just did.
Sybil's back.
No,
with
I mean the rest of the show.
Test Drive.
Got a good show coming up for you today. We're going to get into the life-saving driving techniques. Now, David, we talked about this a little bit yesterday during Rage, and I think this is important for people to know.
Well, you should especially listen.
Okay. I will. I will listen. Because I can't promise I'll adhere, but I will listen.
Well, no. One of these things actually may help you someday. This isn't adhering to a driving technique. This is saving your butt after you screw up.
Oh.
Or when somebody around you screws up and causes you to be in an emergency situation.
Exactly.
I do need this then.
I know.
Yeah.
All right.
All right. This is from rally racing legend Tim O'Neill, who also owns a driving school. And Tim has some suggestions as to how to get out of screw-ups. And he doesn't call them accidents. He calls them screw-ups because in most cases, people put themselves in a position to be in a bad position. There's a couple of kinds of, there's a couple of kind
position.
Of skids that he talks about. There's really three kinds of skids that he talks about. One is understeer, the second is oversteer, and the other one is a counter skid. And real quickly, understeer is like what happened to J.R. Hildebrand at the Indy 500. He turned his wheels, but the car didn't turn. So you turn your wheels and the car keeps going straight. If you've been on ice and had that happen sometimes, or if you're on a wet street and you apply your brakes, you quit steering in a lot of cases, unless you have ABS brakes. Anyway, that's understeer.
Like when you hydroplane?
Exactly. So sort of. We'll talk about that in a little bit.
So what
bit.
Do you
that's
do to fix that understeer?
Well, what you want to do is transfer weight to the front wheels. So a good way to do that is to downshift. So if you go into an understeer, you can downshift, and that'll sort of move weight onto those front wheels and cause them to gain traction. And also, by doing so, the car will start going in the direction you want it to go.
It might be a silly question, but if you're driving an automatic, how can you downshift? Do you throw
it you
in
downshift.
Neutral?
You have lower gears.
No, you've got lower gears.
Oh, like a
past
two
the drive,
and a...
You know, those other ones that are after the drive, two and one.
But do they all have that? Every car?
Yeah, okay. They all do.
For some reason, I just thought it was
Most
hit
people
and miss.
Use that
so
stuff
surprised.
In the mountains. Or when, you don't tow anything, and you don't drive in the mountains.
Right.
Right.
Therefore,
you never use it.
You have never used it. Now, let's finish this, and we can go into, I could talk about driving and
skillet,
how people
skillet,
drive all day.
Skillet and Loco are blowing up the fan text, by
oh,
the way.
No.
Yeah. Anyway.
Hey, Skillet. Hey, Loco.
Good morning, guys.
Oh.
All right. So anyway, if you turn the wheels and the car doesn't turn with you or go in the direction you want it to go, get some weight on those front wheels. Don't slam the brakes on. It won't help you a whole lot. But if you do downshift, it'll cause the weight to move to the front of the car, and you'll start getting the ability to turn again. Always remember to turn the steering wheel in the direction you want to go. That sounds pretty basic, but sometimes when people get scared or excited, they forget about stuff like that.
And the reason braking doesn't work, yes, braking normally shifts that forward, but now you're
well, you
doing
lock
something
up the front
to the wheels,
wheels.
And what you need to be doing is the engine, downshifting to... let that weight all fly forward naturally. Okay.
Next thing, oversteer, and that's when, and a lot of people are really used to this, your back end starts to come around the front end of the car. In other words, it pivots in the center, but basically your back end breaks loose and starts to slide around. A good way to look at that is, like, people that run those drift races, they are constantly in a state of oversteer skid.
They're doing it on purpose.
They're doing it on purpose, right? Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So, anyway, if you start to oversteer, that's when you look in the direction that you want the car to go and sort of turn in that direction, which would be the way the back end is coming around. If it's coming around to the right, you steer to the right a little bit, let your foot off the gas, don't apply the brakes, and then you'll slowly come out of that. The final one, and this is the one that's really tough, is called a counterskid, and that's when you're in a state of oversteer. The back end comes around, and you countersteer to stop that, and the back end whips around the other direction.
Mm-hmm. The guy, he describes this is oversteer gone horribly wrong.
It is. It is. And, you know, it's the most dangerous of all these because you can actually flip then.
Right.
So what you want to do, again, is focus on where you'd like to be, and aim the car in that direction, let off the gas, and just keep moving, keep aiming the car in that direction. And you got to sort of start that when the car is coming out of the first oversteer skid that you're in. Mm. In other words, you're skidding around to the right, you want to look where you want to be, back to the left, turn back in that direction. So instead of the car whipping hard back around to the left, it'll just come around and get behind you again.
I totaled a car with that maneuver.
There you go.
The counter skid.
Yeah.
Because I was.
It's
did
the
you
worst.
Roll it? Did it flip? Or
no,
did you just,
but I was in the middle lane and I was getting into the right lane and it was raining and I was going too fast. And whenever I.
Shocker.
Whenever I cut my wheel to the right to get into that right lane, I overshot it. And next thing you know, I went and I careened about 60 yards off the side of the highway. And when I was turning right, I ended up careening to where I was going with my back end first. So it flipped around.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And I finally came to rest, but along the way, I'd hit a guardrail and a couple other things, and it totaled out the car.
Wow.
I know. But thankfully, all I left with was a bruise.
Good for you.
So I got
you
lucky.
Were lucky.
Yes.
I know.
Well, one thing David left out was one of the first things you do in these situations is suppress your fear.
Yeah,
that's hard to do.
I know.
It is, but you know, you have to just realize that you have to keep your head.
Keep
I mean,
your head
when
about
something
you.
Bad happens, it doesn't mean you have to lose your mind. It means you have to think what to do next.
Right.
Oh, great. Some of these texts are hilarious. Okay.
Yeah, I know.
In order to stop a hydroplaning car, not that that's going to happen in Texas and Dallas anytime soon, we'd have to have some rain. But this fellow O'Neill, he was reluctant to answer this one because he was stressing the importance of knowing your environment and your equipment. Hydroplaning can be scary, and frankly, when it happens, you usually have only yourself to blame. Pay attention to the road. Avoid large areas of standing water. What's that? We haven't seen that in a while. Mm-hmm. Especially if you're traveling faster than 35 miles per hour, which is what she does in the school zone. And make sure your tires have plenty of tread. That's the number one thing. Driving around with bald tires will get you into trouble every
time.
If you do find yourself sailing across in a puddle, O'Neill simply says, don't do anything too silly, and you should make it out the other side unscathed. Don't jam on the brakes or turn the wheel. Just ease off the gas and keep the wheel straight when you start hydroplaning. That's all. That's the answer.
And that is what you do. You just sort of relax and try to work with a car until you get out of that hydroplaning area because they're not really big. You don't stay on one forever.
Right.
And you don't want to be sideways when you come off of it.
No.
You
know, no, that thing. Would make you roll for sure because when those wet tires hit the dry pavement.
All right. I've actually had this happen to me, a front tire blowout.
That's mm-hmm.
And it is altogether different. If you blow a tire in the back, the car gets a little squirrely and stuff. But if you blow a tire in the front, it can actually put you into a bad situation really quickly.
You're going to get some really awful texts after that
statement. I'm sure I am. Anyway.
About the back end of the car?
Yeah.
Something about blowing the front tire. I don't know.
Here's what you do. You have to realize if you blow a tire in the front that the car is going to try to pull and get off the road in that direction. It could try to drag you into oncoming traffic. It could try to drag you off onto the ditch or into the ditch. And you have to basically grab the wheel with a death grip and keep the car as steady as you possibly can. Do not apply the brakes. Let off of the gas and slowly steer it to the side of the road. You just got to get your head into it and slowly steer it to the side. Again, I've had that happen, and it's amazing how much the car pulls you or the steering wheel tries to take over when you blow a front tire.
So the battle is with the steering wheel. Hold on tight to the steering wheel.
Absolutely.
Okay. and that'll help you from flying around inside the car, too. Okay, to avoid an obstacle in your path, first of all, you have to be watching for it, so keep your eyes on the road.
But sometimes that car in front of you will just swerve out of the way at the last minute, and then there you are about to hit it.
That is true. This is a tough one because your best course of action here is to simply be vigilant, okay? Expect the unexpected. So you all really always have to be preparing for somebody to do something stupid. For example, I'm always watching on the highway if anybody's staying in the middle of their lane or are they kind of swerving back and forth. I determine whether they've been drinking, whether they're texting, you know, and then I try to get away from them, so I avoid them that way. But always have an escape route in mind. That's why I'm always looking, okay, where am I going to go when this guy jerks over here? Don't panic. If you have to stop quickly and have the room to do so and are not turning, stomp on the brake pedal like you're trying to snap it clean off and keep the steering wheel dead straight. This is usually the best course of action for avoiding that obstacle in your path. Swerving around it doesn't always work. You don't always have the time there. So,
Or if you're in the HOV lane or something.
Right.
There's nowhere to go.
And then you'll be snapping off those little
barricade poles
if you swerve.
All right. Finally, the big one, when your brakes fail. This is what everyone said was a problem that wasn't really a problem, I don't think, with Toyota. But anyway, when your brakes fail, what do you do? Well, the first thing you can do is downshift your car. I mean, if it's you're in drive, shift it down to third and then second and down into first, and the transmission will slow the car down. You should also pump the brakes like a madman because if it's just a low fluid or maybe a little leak that's caused it, you can pump pressure back into the brake system and you can actually get some braking. The other thing you can look for is there an incline or a hill? Because that'll slow you down.
Like in the mountains?
Yeah. So if
the trucks have those runaway ramps?
Yeah, if you can safely turn onto an incline or get up onto a hill, that'll slow you down a little bit.
All right. Words to live by. Again, if you want to print these out and keep them handy, maybe in your glove box, go to autoflex.com and click on Facebook. Not that you'd
just
have time.
Reach over there.
Right. When you're actually in a skid, not that you'd have time to grab it. But maybe if you're pumping gas while you wait, you want to read it over it and memorize it.
It'll also be on our Facebook page. And you can always go to the podcast and listen to our show again.
That's right. All that and more at autoflex.com. Coming up next, do you have something, David?
Well, I was going to say, the thing we hadn't mentioned was we have a big used car sale going today at Autoflex. Mm-hmm. So if you're in the Richardson area or in the Arlington on I-20 around the Parks Mall area, you can stop by one of our locations on Central Expressway or on the Parks Mall or on I-20 by the Parks Mall and look at some great pre-owned cars. We've got everything from 2010 and 2011 pre-owned cars down to 2001 and 2002s. So anything from $5,000 all the way up to a very, very lightly used Mercedes, BMW, Lexus.
And if you're not in the area, you can always go to our website, autoflex.com, or make the phone call to Autoflex at 817 or 972-234-1234, and you'll get a leasing specialist or a salesperson who can assist you that way. And I bet you can work out meetings somewhere if you had to.
Yeah, exactly.
But view them online. It's so easy that way, too.
You bet.
That's right. Autoflex.com. Up next, we're going to talk about the 7 luxury sedans for you to love and lease. So stay tuned. It's the Saturday Morning Test Drive brought to you by Autoflex Leasing. Autoflex Lease,
oh yeah. This is the Saturday Morning Test Drive brought to you by Autoflex Leasing.
Welcome back to the Saturday Morning Test Drive, brought to you by Autoflex Leasing, with your hosts, David Blassingame, Tammy Pickard, and me, Sybil Summers. Waddle's on the board. You can feel free to call us, 877-881-1053. You can also fan text us at 43733. We're getting some good ones today. And you can call Autoflex. They do have a fantastic pre-owned car sale going on right now, so you got to call. What are those numbers, David?
Either 817 or 972-234-1234, or as Tammy said when she read the phone numbers.
What did I say?
You can go to autoflex.com and see all the great pre-owned cars there before you go down there. And you just usually will have 25 or 30 pictures of each car on autoflex.com with a complete description of the car and all that neat stuff.
But that's not every car we have, because I think we printed like 37 contracts yesterday, which means we took in a bunch more trades.
Right.
So if you don't see something you like, make the phone call and give your salesperson a list of what you're looking for, and we can shop within our own inventory to find it for you.
It's a wonderful thing.
Waddle was on autoflex.com during that break, and he was already saying, okay, I found my next car.
What is it going to be, Waddle?
I saw that. There's a, they all have a nice 2007 BMW coupe on there that looked pretty, pretty dashing.
That's coupe.
Three series. It's a three series coupe.
Like coupe. Coupe.
All right. Well,
I thought that was a German car.
Let's get into
that would make it a coupe.
The coupe.
Das coupe.
Das coupe.
Luxury sedans to love and lease.
You know, Bankrate.com came out with this, and it's an interesting article. I read it, and I liked it, so that's why we have it here.
If he doesn't like them, you're not hearing about it.
That's true. Mm-hmm. And they talk about all of these fabulous cars. And one of the reasons I liked the article was Ricky Banks, who was on the show with us last week, who's the editor of Black Book, did a lot of the research on this, and they quoted him. So Ricky's a smart guy, so I'm reading it. And really, the cars that they have on here, no one could argue with. I mean, it's such an easy thought because the Porsche Panamera 4, which is an amazing, amazing car that I didn't think personally would sell, but I was way off wrong. I figured people want a Porsche, they're going to get a turbo 911, they're going to get, you know, a coupe.
Lots of people want that sexy car and be able to carry more than two people and a shopping bag.
They got kids.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So
now
anyway,
they can go to the mall. Bring home a boatload of loot.
Exactly. So the Panamera 4 is one of the first cars they listed. It's got a three-year resale value of 54%, which is very, very high, which means that in 3 years, if you lease that car, you're going to pay for less than half of it and get to drive that car for 3 years, which is – and the first-year depreciation is the most important, as we all know. So it's got a very, very low first-year depreciation. Second car they talk about, again, this is an amazingly great car, Cadillac CTS-V sedan. And that is the super, super fast CTS.
It's a super, super expensive CTS, too.
It is.
I disagree with this one being on the list. Sorry.
Okay. Well, I like the car. We've delivered a bunch of these cars, and one of the guys that was delivering one, I said, did you drive the car? And he goes, yeah. He said, it's so fast, it's scary.
I read in Auto Week they're out selling the Corvettes.
Yeah. I mean, they're well, it is a Corvette,
basically.
Well,
it's a four-door.
Yeah. It's
so
a four-door
carry
Corvette.
People with you.
Yeah.
It's a bad-looking car.
It is. And again, three-year residual on that is 52%, which means, again, you lease it for 3 years, you pay for less than half of it. It's in warranty the whole time, which is always nice with an expensive car.
But
it's a lot of fun to drive.
It's a 556-horsepower, 6.2-liter supercharged V8 capable of rocketing the sedan to 60 miles per hour in 3.9 seconds.
That's an automatic that gets 0 to 60 in 3.9. That's pretty amazing.
And that's, okay, so that's the heart of a ZR1 Corvette in the Cadillac CTS-V sedan. Okay. I still think it's pricey, but whatever.
Okay, the next car they mentioned, BMW 750i, which is a fabulous, fabulous car again. Again, three-year residual at 52%, which means, again, you're going to pay for less than half the car. That's a 400-horsepower, 4.4-liter twin-turbo V8. 0 to 60 and 5 in that car. And that car is a bigger and a heavier car than the CTS, so maybe that's a little understandable. Mm-hmm. The next car I love personally, the Lexus LS460. They rate the long here, but both of those cars are just great cars, whether you get the long or the regular, with a three-year residual of 50%. Maybe the most comfortable car I've ever driven in my entire life. Just a very, very nice car. Very quiet.
Reliable.
They never break.
They don't have to visit the shop.
They never break.
They drive by.
Yeah.
Hey,
yeah, it's pretty crazy. You take them in for an oil change, that's it.
And it's a smooth ride.
Very quiet.
And quick. It's a quick car, too.
Yeah, it is. It'll get you on the highway. The next car they list will really get you on the highway, and that's the Mercedes-Benz S63 AMG. And that is a 5.5-liter V8 that pumps out 536 horsepower, 7-speed transmission, and 4.4 will get you from 0 to 60 in that car. That is a huge, heavy car, and it is a rocket.
Well, the Lexus didn't do too well. I mean, that didn't do too bad. That was LS460L. It was 0 to 60 in 5.4 seconds.
No,
so
I know.
One extra second, I just wanted
very
to mention.
Little. Very little difference.
Mention.
Then they list the Lincoln MKS with the EcoBoost. Again, now you get a 47% residual at three cars, at 3 years on this, so not quite the efficiency of the other cars in the lease, but still a good buy. And that's a 3.5-liter turbo V6, which is what we're going to be seeing more and more of as we move toward cars getting 100 miles per gallon or something like that.
And they do that engine in the Ford trucks. They have the EcoBoost truck, that turbocharged six, and it is awesome
fast.
To drive.
Yeah, it's fast. The last car they list, a fabulous car, the Audi A8.
Love those.
It's a great car. The resale not quite as good on that car, 47% at 3 years, still not bad at all, but a great, great car. So I thought it was interesting. They listed all these fine luxury sedans, but the majority of people out there probably don't want to make a payment of $800, $900 a month.
Oh, please. Mm-mm. You wish they were that much. These cars are going to ring $1,200 a month.
Well, it's according to the lease term. So anyway, I started looking at other cars that people could lease that would give them the same kind of leverage or the same kind of buyout or in value, whatever you want to call it. And here's the numbers. If you looked at an Accord sedan, a Honda Accord sedan, at 3 years, that car has a 49% residual. So again, you lease that car for 3 years, you're only going to pay for half of it, and your payment is going to be extremely, extremely reasonable. The Ford Focus, and I use the SE model, 45% at 3 years, very, very strong resale value, even a lower payment because it's a less expensive car. Chevrolet Cruze, 48% at 36 months, which means, again, you drive the car for 3 years, you pay for about half of it, and you don't have to worry about resale value. And finally, the standby, the Toyota Camry, 47% at 3 years, again, extremely strong and a great car. So now there are some normal cars that you can lease and probably have a payment in the $300 range, $350 range, and get a great car, reliable, in warranty the whole time you've got it, and provide nothing but good transportation and a lot of good features.
Mm-hmm. And you can get all of those at AutoFlex Leasing. So if you want to get into a pre-owned car, we always say lease new, buy used, and it turns out right now, there's a good place for the used car market. Now it's starting to, your used cars are starting to be more in demand.
Well, it's sort of strange, and we'll start the story now and probably finish it after the break because it's pretty entailed. But what's happened is the market on used cars has done nothing but go up in value for the last 18 months or so because there aren't enough used cars. And you got to look back at 2007, 2008, 2009, especially 2009. In 2009, there were only 10 million new cars sold. So if you look back all the way to 8, there were 13.5 million, and 7, 16 million, and more than 17 million in 2006 and 2005. So you go from selling more than 17 million new cars a year to selling 8 million cars.
Big difference.
In just a few years, they're not making used cars.
Yeah, that they're not coming back in as trades mm-hmm. because they weren't sold
they weren't
to
made.
Begin with.
Yeah. So,
kind of like the baby boom when that stopped.
Yeah.
There were no boomers because they weren't having babies.
So anyway, what's happened is there's a tremendous shortage of used cars now. There's just not any. Mm-hmm. So what's happened to the value of used cars, because it's a supply and demand situation.
Simple economics.
They keep going up. It's just crazy.
It's wonderful for the people who are trading in cars.
Well, and here's if you got your car in 2009 or certainly 2008, you can trade right now.
And that's a really convenient reason to do business with AutoFlex, because you guys probably aren't watching that market like we are. It's kind of like you have a stockbroker that mm-hmm. watches that stuff while you go about your day and take the kids to soccer and cook breakfast and go to work at whatever job you have, and you're not watching the stock market. That's what your broker does for you.
Right.
Well, that's what we do for you on the cars. So then when your leasing specialist or your salesperson calls you back and says, hey, you're in a good position to trade right now. Have you thought about it? Do you want to? Then you can think about whether or not you want to go into the next car. Or if you want to find out if you should, could, what the numbers would be, you call us because we have all the data. And we're not going to just try to sell a car. We really do try to consult and advise you to make the smart decision. That's the way I've always worked with my clients, and they appreciate that because they know they can call Tammy and get the straight up poop.
Well, and if you're looking
straight up poop is what I know you for.
Straight up poop.
Sorry.
That's great. Here's a couple of examples. 2009 Kia Rio. The car was worth $6,400 in May. It was worth $7,500 in June.
And that's a Kia Rio.
In 1 month?
17%.
Can you imagine what a Honda Civic went up?
Exactly. Well, and let's talk about a Honda Civic.
Please.
If you had a 2010 Honda Civic DX, you would have paid $15,455 for it if you paid sticker for it when it was new. Guess what it's worth as a trade-in right now?
$15,000.
$14,075. Mm. That's a year-old car, over a year-old car, that's only dropped $1,380.
So it cost about $100 a month to drive.
Exactly. I mean, it's just absolutely amazing what the pricing on used cars is right now. So the key, I think, to anyone that's listening is, if you're driving an 08 or an 09, you can trade. If you're in a lease and you're halfway through it, you can probably trade, unless you've got a zillion miles on it. Certainly, if you purchased a car in 08 or 09, you should be able to trade, even on 72-month financing, because the cars have just not lost any value.
Right. The rate, the nice low interest rates that we have been blessed with for so long and we hope to keep have helped quite a bit because you're not paying as much, you know, just to finance the car. So you know how it is. It's all front loaded. You pay your interest first and you get to the principal. So those low rates helped you out and this great market. So
and that's why we have so many used cars to sell, because everyone's trading right now because they can. I mean, if you've got a 2-year-old car or 3-year-old car, it's coming out of warranty. Mm-hmm. Maybe it needs a set of tires, or maybe it needs a second set of tires. Mm-hmm. Maybe the air conditioning is not quite as cold as it should be. You can bring it in and trade it in and actually have equity to use as a down payment or cover your first payment in taxes.
Listen, we have been trading in, well, it's been a couple months since this was really going on hot and heavy, but we were trading people out of their midsize SUVs, putting them in a brand new one. And for example, a Honda Pilot worked really well, keeping their payments pretty much the same, putting them in a 3-year newer vehicle before they had to replace the tires, do brakes, or any of that stuff. They're thrilled. Now, you can go and shop at every car dealer in town. It will take you a month of Saturdays if you just devoted around 5 hours per day, because that's about how long you'll spend at the car dealership, just trying to test drive and find out what your trade-in is worth and then what the financing would be on this particular car. You'll invest around 4 to 5 hours per brand. Or you can call AutoFlex, get the models together that you're most interested in, and do it all in one day, all in one place, and get most of it done over the phone before you ever arrive. Make it convenient.
Fast, easy, and fun.
Yes.
That's right. So
especially fun.
If you want to call AutoFlex, those phone numbers, 817 or 972-234-1234. We'll be back just after this. You're listening to the Saturday Morning Test Drive brought to you by AutoFlex Leasing.
We're back to the Saturday Morning Test Drive, brought to you by AutoFlex Leasing.
Welcome back to the Saturday Morning Test Drive, brought to you by AutoFlex Leasing. David Blessingame, Tammy Pickard, me, Sybil Summers, we're all dancing here in the studio.
I'm myself dizzy.
Are you? Waddle's on the board for us today, as he is every Saturday. You can call us if you have a question, 877-881-1053. You can also fan text us your questions at 43733, including this one. What's the value of a 2008 Equinox? That is a Nissan?
No, that's a Chevy.
Chevrolet Equinox. It should be. I mean, the wholesale value on that car is probably around $13,000. The retail value on the car is around $14,000, $14,500.
Depends
that's with
on
average
the miles,
60,000 miles or so.
Yeah.
Yeah. Which means, and I looked real quick, that car went up $100 between June and July.
Wow.
It was worth, that's what it's worth in July. It was worth $100 less in June. So, I mean, here's the thing. If you've got a car and you're thinking about trading it in, even in the next 6 months, 8 months, you might as well do it now because this is pretty well done. What we've seen now is the market's flattened out. And we're starting to see dropping prices, amazingly enough, on the small cars before anything else. Mm-hmm. The compacts, the Civics and the Corollas and the smaller Chevrolets and Fords are dropping in price. And the bigger cars have sort of maintained. And I guess maybe it's a supply and demand thing again because there were so many small cars.
People were buying the smaller, more economical cars when gas went up. So they're trading them now.
Right.
And people were not buying Tahoes and Suburbans and vehicles like that so much when the gas was high. Well, now it's palatable, I suppose. And let me tell you on that Equinox, color has a lot to do with the trade-in value of your car.
Yeah.
When people call in for colors, and I mean, I can look in any parking lot and tell you what the most popular car, black, white, silver, gray, and then some red dabbled in there.
But you got to be really careful on the red.
True. It's got to be the right red and the right car.
Right. Mm-hmm.
You know, red doesn't work on every car. Red trucks are good, though. So think about the color. When you're buying your car and you want to think about resale value, that purple that you love...
No.
Not everybody loves it.
No. Burnt orange, like the UT colors. Mm-hmm.
If you can find another guy from UT, he'll buy it. Nobody else will.
Right. Nobody from Oklahoma would buy it.
No.
Right. Sure. Said the girl from Oklahoma.
Boomer Sooner. All right. So think about the color, too, because that can definitely affect the trade-in value of your car.
Mm-hmm. Good to know.
Well, you know, that comes into the total value of the car. And that's the total cost of the car. The total cost of the car to you is what it cost you to get into it and then what you get for it when you sell it and the total of payments. That's what it cost. So if you get to the end and you don't get as much for it, leasing. If you're going to get that purple car, lease it.
Lease it. That's right. If you want a Mercedes without a sunroof, lease it.
Yeah, exactly.
You know? And here's another thing really to think about whenever you're trying to plan your budget. David just said the total cost of the car, and then he threw in leasing. If you want to completely plan what that car is going to cost you to drive, lease it. Because then you do have a guaranteed dollar figure out. You can hand that car back to the bank. Even if somebody rear-ends you on Central Expressway and does $5,500 worth of damage to the car, you get it fixed. It's all great, but now your car's been wrecked. And everybody that I know... is very disappointed in their, you know, after it's been wrecked, it's just not the same. Well, guess what? You're not going to get as much for it trying to sell it or trade it in because it has been damaged. So that diminished value will affect you. With the lease, you're protected from that. You're also protected with gap insurance. We provide gap coverage on our leases so that if the car isn't worth as much, it'll automatically pay off any deficit for you. And that's another thing. When you do check into leasing, check with all the different programs to make sure you have that coverage. A lot of the manufacturers' programs, you have to purchase that gap coverage. Don't assume it's in there. If you need to check things out, call a leasing specialist at AutoFlex. We know all the answers.
That's true. 817 or 972-234-1234. Now, speaking of all those good things about leasing, I think that has a lot to do with why leasing is 20% of the entire new car market these days.
And, you know, that's down from where it used to be simply because of the economy.
Mm-hmm.
But it has doubled since the economy took a dive, and it didn't take long to recover. That was just a matter of banks needing money. They had to kind of figure out where their money was coming from to get back into making the lease look good. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, the consumer had to... feel confident with their job and the economy enough to spend the money.
Right.
But it's coming back. It'll be back up at 30% plus in no time, I believe.
Yeah, it's running a good steady 20%. And if you looked at different brands, that's across the board. If you looked at Honda, Toyota,
Nissan,
you're going to be hitting BMW. In the 30-35% range, and BMW even higher than that.
Listen, Highline cars primarily are leased. The more expensive it is, guess what? The bigger the payment. So, and typically people who want to drive that Highline car, they don't want to keep it for 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
And honestly, people, if you're not going to keep the car 8 to 10 years, buying is not your cheapest route. Leasing is.
Well,
you know?
And what it does is gives you an extra option because if you don't know, maybe you want to keep the car 10 years, but how about a 4-year test drive?
Right, with an option to buy it at the end.
Exactly, because you can still buy it and drive it and keep it the rest of the time, but your payments are certainly going to be less for the 4 years, and you're going to have an option at the end. You're not going to be stuck with it.
I like options.
I do, too.
Me, 3.
Somebody fan text in, 09 Ford Focus, 70,000 miles, silver, which is a good color.
Good color.
What will it trade for? The actual trade-in value on that car is probably around $9,000 if it's got 70,000 miles on it. Again, that's a really, really high trade-in value
that's
for that car right now. That's very strong.
Value.
Yeah, mm-hmm. it is, especially with 70,000 miles.
That's a lot of miles, too, for just a couple-year-old car.
Yeah,
oh, and you
yeah
know,
it is.
I want to mention something because of a text that came in. We talked about what gap coverage does and doesn't take care of, you know, on your car. And no, it doesn't do anything about your teeth.
Thank you, Loco. Okay. out of our good friends with the UAW, the union this last week, the head of the union, Bob King of the UAW, spoke in front of the International Brothers of Hood of Teamsters at their convention in Las Vegas, and he announced that the UAW would go to war with Chrysler if Chrysler chose to buy their own transport trucks and then hire non-union drivers to deliver their cars.
I want to know who their warriors are, because if they're the dudes that were on the TV the other night that were smoking and drinking it up before they went to their shift, I ain't scared. Did you guys see that? Okay, sorry, Dave.
No, it's all right. I saw it. It's crazy.
I didn't see that.
Oh, they were having a big old party on their lunch break, and then one guy was drinking a whole bunch of beer, went back to the beer store. They called it the party store. Went back and refilled, and that's when they said, hey, you know, or you've been drinking beer out there for a while. Aren't you supposed to be going to work?
I ain't going to work today.
But he was parked in the UAW parking lot drinking his beer.
That happens a lot. That was happening at Bell Helicopter, too. I saw that on the news a while back.
Well, anyway, the UAW, which I thought was supposed to be partners with Chrysler and General Motors, since they're all sort of owned by the government now.
Yeah, we thought they were partners.
I thought they were partners. Anyway, they're saying they'll go to war because Chrysler. Here's the thing. Chrysler had a transport company that was UAW. And that was Teamsters, and they tried to raise the price way up on transporting their vehicles. And Chrysler said, guys, we're just now getting out of bankruptcy. We don't have the money. We can't pay you. Not that much money. And they said, well, that's it. This is it, and this is how it works. Chrysler went out and found other carriers to transport their vehicles, and now they're looking for a permanent solution. And the cheapest thing for them to do would be to buy their own trucks and hire their own drivers. Mm-hmm. So they're trying to save money and keep busy and keep business going.
But the Teamsters want to go to war
with them over that. Which sort of reminds me of the other thing that's going on right now. The National Labor Relations Board has sued Boeing because Boeing built a plant in South Carolina. And you say, how can that be? That makes no sense. Boeing should have a right to build a plant anywhere they want to, right? Well, Boeing has built a plant in South Carolina. They've hired 1,000 workers. And the National Labor Relations Board has sued them, saying they shouldn't be able to do that. They should have to locate the plant in Washington State, which is a union state.
I mean, just raise your hand, honk your horn if this just doesn't seem right to you.
Anyway.
You want to be told where you do you want to be told where you have to work or live, or do you want to choose it?
Well, or if you own a business, do you want someone to be able to tell you where you can open your next business at?
You can't
That's
open
sort
in that
of where
state.
We are
you
right
have
now.
To do it here where we have unions.
Mm-mm. Well, and the interesting thing is the reason that Boeing, I think, looked at South Carolina is it's a right-to-work state, as is Texas, which means that you can have a union there, but it's not mandatory that all the workers belong to the union. And they will have lower labor costs there. The other thing that happened was in 2008, Boeing's union workers struck Boeing. Mm-hmm. And cost them $1 zillion because of the strike. And now Boeing has a new contract for a brand new aircraft. They're selling the heck out of them. And they don't want to take a chance on having a union shut them down.
Gee, really?
Right. So anyway.
I can't even believe they can make this a lawsuit.
So far, 16 attorney generals have chimed in and said, you can't tell someone where to open their business. We don't care. And, of course, the National Labor Relations Board is somewhat government-supported,
right.
So everyone's trying to figure out how that's working right now.
Well, let me tell you what. It starts at home, and it starts small. So whatever cause you have, you know, up your crawl or that you want to back, you contact your local representative. Mm-hmm. It starts right here small, and they're the ones that speak for us. So if it does bother you, don't sit on your duff. Make a phone call, send an email, write a letter, you know, and spread it around to your friends. Get on your Facebook and, you know, spread it that way.
Yeah.
But if you were the one that owned the business and somebody was trying to tell you where you had to open it up and it was going to affect how much money you made or how your success rate.
Right.
That just gets my blood boiling.
I wouldn't like that either. Mm-mm. Okay, it's
especially
about
after the party night the other day. So really?
Right. Paying them to go drink.
Oh. Well, they were on their break, but they were paying them when they got back. I mean, watching these guys stumble back into the plant makes you not want to buy that brand.
Can't be safe.
Did he put any brake fluid in there? I mean, I'm going to have to deal with, you know, no brakes. Let me go back to that story Dave and Tammy did. Five life-saving drive. If I'm buying my, I definitely need this if I get a Chrysler from that plant. Sorry.
Right. We got to take a quick break here, but stay tuned. We get some. We got some fan texts coming in. We'll answer all your questions and get into a few more stories before we wrap things up. This is the Saturday Morning Test Drive brought to you by Autoflex Leasing. Autoflex
Lease, oh yeah. We're back to the Saturday Morning Test Drive brought to you by Autoflex Leasing.
Back to the Saturday Morning Test Drive, brought to you by AutoFlex Leasing here on 105.3 The Fan. David Blassingame, Tammy Pickard, and me, Sybil Summers, here wrapping up the show. We do want to get to your fan text, though. Lots of people starting to ask questions now at 43733. You can still call AutoFlex also, 817 or 972-234-1234. But we've been talking about what your car's worth. So let's get to a couple of these.
Yeah, let's see. What is the maximum amount of miles you can drive in 1 year on a lease for a car? Well, on a leased car, you can actually drive pretty well any number of miles you want to. What we do is we use the amount of car you're going to use to figure out what it's worth at the end. So if you're going to drive 15,000 miles a year, 4 years, it's going to have 60,000 miles. We'll figure out an end value from that, a resale value. If you're going to drive 25,000 miles a year, you're going to have a 100,000-mile car in 4 years. We'll figure out what the end value is there. Your payment's going to vary because you're using more of the car.
So you have the flexibility to set the parameters for your own lease,
you
which
just
is
tell
why,
us what you need.
Yeah, yeah, that's why you have the Flex Lease computer system.
That's why it's called AutoFlex.
Well, and the other thing is that a lot of people go to dealers, and the dealers will have those 10,000-mile-a-year leases, which no one can live with, or
right.
the 12,000, but they don't have a lot of flexibility. We're a leasing company. We can do whatever you need us to do.
Mm-hmm.
Secondly, what was the Eclipse?
What is the trade-in on a 2004 Eclipse GTS with 127,000 miles?
And there's another question in here about an S10 that's got 215,000 miles on it. When a car gets a lot of miles on it, there can be a lot of difference in the value mm-hmm. according to the condition of the car. I would suggest that you give us a call at AutoFlex. Give us the number of miles or take it by because we really
Bring
need
it
to
in.
See it.
Got
to
see the condition. That's not a phone deal.
Because if you can see the car, you can actually give more money for it, especially if it's in good shape.
Right.
So if it's in good shape, you need to bring the car in. If it's in bad shape, $500.
Because if the AC doesn't work, or if the brake light's on, or the service engine soon, you know, all of those things.
Cigarette
don't.
Burns in the cushions, mm-hmm. in the seats.
Right.
Another fan text here. I have a 2008 gray Mazda 6 with 63,000 miles. I want to get a Chevy Traverse. Can you tell me the value for Mazda and the difference in the purchase price and lease for the Traverse?
No, okay. I can tell you about the Mazda. It's probably worth somewhere, the wholesale on it's about 12.2 or 3. It's probably worth retail somewhere around 13, 13.3.
Again, depending on condition and equipment.
Exactly. But the rest of that, I mean, I have to have the Flex Lease computer system to be
able
to tell you
this.
That.
I'll tell you. I can't tell you what the payment is, but your lease payment will be 30 to 40% lower than the purchase payment. Okay, that's if you go term to term. And typically a 3-year lease is very close in payment to a 5-year purchase. And then a 5-year lease payment is obviously considerably lower. The first thing you need to determine is how long do you want to keep the car and do you want some flexibility to determine whether the lease works for you? And I suggest you call AutoFlex to get some answers about the differences and then you can make an educated decision.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Ford has come out as the first manufacturer to back a ban on handheld phone use
Woo-hoo!
While driving.
Yay, Ford.
Yeah. Well, and you got to think about this, too. Ford is also the company that has the Ford Sync system.
Right.
I know. That was smart.
So
they can go all hands-free.
They've got the ability in their cars to do the hands-free, so they're going to back this because it makes good. And the other thing is it just makes good sense.
You might as well back the hands-free. You're not going to be able to get people to stop doing phone business completely in their
right.
cars now that it's available. They're going to sneak it just like they sneak drinking and driving or mm-hmm. whatever else. They're going to be on those phones, but making it hands-free is the one thing that will make it safer, don't you believe, Dave?
Right. Well, and the legislation that Ford is backing is coming out of New York. Carolyn McCarthy is the legislator that has introduced it, and it wouldn't apply to hand-free mobile phone use, but it would apply to anything that you've got to hold up to your ear, and obviously texting. You know, interestingly enough, Verizon Wireless has come in and endorsed the legislation also. I think all of these wireless carriers and all of the phone people have to understand that this is going to happen. Mm-hmm. We can't continue to have the kind of problems we're having with people getting killed and having wrecks and that kind of thing. Also, the National Highway Traffic and Safety Administration released a study this last week saying that they'd seen remarkable differences when you have high-profile enforcement against texting and talking on the phone while driving.
So that means lots of signs, lots of police on the road looking for you. What do you think would be the tipping point for the ticket? For example, what would keep you, Sybil, off your phone? How much does that ticket have to be if they catch you? $50 or $250?
I was thinking more like 500 or 1,000. That
it would
make
take
me,
a lot.
Yeah, it would take a lot. Because otherwise, I do a lot of multitasking on my drive into work.
And it'd be worth it to you to get a $300 ticket because you needed to make that text.
Probably $300 the afterthought, I would think, man, I wish I hadn't done that. Yeah. But at the time, I'd say, yeah, I'll pay $300 to do this right now.
Okay. But 500 to 1,000 would...
That would set me back, yeah, where I wouldn't want to do it again.
I like their...
Teach me a lesson.
I like their I guess the tagline they used for this enforcement effort, phone in one hand, ticket in the other. So,
phone in one hand, empty pockets.
Right. Yeah.
That's what I like.
What they saw was a 57% drop in handheld phone use and texting, which is huge. Mm-hmm. And it's a lot less.
And I know they mentioned something with younger drivers not being able to use phones. I don't know. I think all the states need to get behind it. Younger drivers don't need, you know, they are the ones that walk and text and fall into manholes.
Right.
Right.
Well. All right. Well, that's about all the time we have. If you do want to take advantage of the pre-owned car sale going on right now at AutoFlex Leasing, two locations. What are the numbers, David?
Either 817 or 972-234-1234 or AutoFlex.com. And to see all of the stories and a lot more news in the automotive business, go to the Facebook page of AutoFlex Leasing.
That's right. You can get there by AutoFlex.com. We'll be back here next Saturday morning at 9 a.m. Thanks to Waddle on the board and all of you for texting in today. For David Blassingame and Tammy Pickard, my name is Sybil Summers. This has been the Saturday Morning Test Drive brought to you by AutoFlex Leasing. Up next, it's Chris Arnold. So stay tuned. This is 105.3 The Fan. You're a selfish man.